Welcome back to Sidebars and Stilettos. Hi, guys. Okay, so we are back. We currently just got back from being by the pool, so we don't have a stiletto on today, but we are both wearing our Christian Dior slides. And I think we kind of wanted to jump into this episode talking about
We're still on
we're
our
still in our relationship
friendship series,
series.
which we're coming to an end on
Yeah,
it.
we're gonna wrap up. We'll probably revisit it later on down the line, but we're gonna wrap it up soon. But on this episode, we kind of wanted to give our like 6 to 7 signs that you're dating a narcissist, that you might be dating a narcissist. And I don't know, I just feel like this is a good one because I think this is something that like a lot of people don't know until they're like in the relationship. I feel like a lot of people don't understand what narcissism is until you've actually experienced a narcissist.
You
So I feel
don't.
like it's good to know the tips and signs to look out for.
No, exactly.
But yeah, we're just gonna kind of jump into it. So yeah, mom, you want to start off with kind of your first tip? I think you have
First
like a good
tip.
list for this.
I think the first sign I would say is probably the love bombing. If somebody is love bombing you within the first 2 to 3 weeks and it's excessive, you know that that's probably a sign. Watch it, I would say. Because I've found that with patterns are that narcissists tend to love bomb really quick. They mirror your behavior. So they automatically come into what as they're meeting you, they come in mirroring everything. They've done the research on you, so they know what you like. They know your do's and your don'ts. If you've got a social media, they've stalked it backwards and forwards and sideways, every way they possibly can. And so they know exactly what to say. They know exactly where to take you. They know exactly what to do. They are strategic in how they approach
They're
you.
so manipulative too. But I'm speaking from a little bit of experience because I have like dated slash talked to a narcissist in the past. So for me, I definitely can attest to that. The love bombing, that should be like the biggest sign that you are with a narcissist. If they're love bombing you, just acting like they're so into you, so in love with you, so soon, or saying I love you soon.
You have so much in common. There's no way that everything the biggest thing is you're like, oh, I'm like the
Female and
female
male
or
version of
male version of each
the
other.
oh my gosh.
That's not, there's nobody that has everything
In
exactly
common,
in common. You may have gone to school together. You may like a particular food or restaurant,
or
but
activities too.
activities, but every single thing that you gotta watch that.
You gotta watch that because the mirroring, I don't think I realized that at the beginning when I was with the narcissist, but when I look back on the relationship, and now that I'm out of it and have been out of it for a while, I'm just like, okay, you are mirroring me so much. And then it's like the longer you date them, the more you realize you're nothing like the person that you said. You made it seem like you were like similar to me and this and that, but you're really the complete opposite of that, which is fine. But like they try to like kind of lie and trick you to into thinking that they're like the male version of you. And
Or the
that's
female version of you, yeah.
And
And you can do no wrong. You're the most beautiful thing on the earth. You are gorgeous. You're beautiful. I've never dated anybody like you. Oh my God, you're the prettiest girl I've ever dated.
All the things that they say, all the things, oh my gosh,
And it sounds
the
good.
BS that they feed you, it's
It
BS.
sounds good, especially because you don't go into something thinking that, okay, I gotta watch it, see if this is a narcissist. So you are like, okay, this is great. This is a guy
You're
who's
taking it back
totally,
and you're like, oh, this is refreshing, like all this stuff, but it's all BS. But
And it slowly
it slowly gets worse. And
changed.
also they only can last for about three
Oh, yes,
months.
2 to 3 months.
2 to 3 months. Like when I tell you
It's like clockwork.
every person that I have encountered that's a narcissist, it's like they only can be that person. The person that they present at the beginning, this amazing person, they try to trick you into believing that they're the female, male version of you. They're so in love with you, enthralled with you, all of that. That lasts for a good 2 to 3 months, and then the real person comes out.
Because they're actually very envious and very jealous people of people who are doing better than them, or people who are doing more than them, or people who, or if you, if they tend that you get more attention than they are, they're really jealous of little things like that. They want all attention. They want
But at the beginning, it's so funny because the things that they love about you at the beginning are the things that,
annoy them.
That annoy them, and that they start to throw up in your face after those 3 months or start to tear you down about it. And it's like, wait a minute, three months ago, like, you loved this about me. You loved that about you. And so it's just like, okay, that just doesn't change. You're a narcissist.
And that also brings up another sign. When the 3 months are over and they start to devalue you, when you find that, you know, nothing you can do is right. All of a sudden it's like, oh, I don't like that. Things that they liked 3 months ago, now, I don't want to do that. Yeah, I don't like that. Or they're devaluing you and tearing you down. There's no way you're going to be able to accomplish that. You can't do that. I don't see how you're going to manage that.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the supportive person that was there 2 or 3 months ago when you hung the moon? So I definitely think, okay, so the love bombing would be one. Devaluing you happens after those 3 months. I do think they're very envious people, jealous people. So you'll see that as it unfolds.
Yeah.
And then I also think that they have to have the spotlight. So when they're not in the spotlight and you are, they find themselves extremely, they're pissy about it.
Yeah.
They're pissy about it. And then they want to, they hold on to that so they can strike back at you.
Yeah. And I don't know, the more that you are with the narcissist, you start to realize how mean they really are and how jealous and envious and insecure that they are around you because of you. And it's not anything you're doing wrong. So just know, none of us are perfect. I'm not acting like I'm some saint, but I'm just saying when it comes to a narcissist, it's definitely one of those things where like they can make you feel like you're a terrible person, you're shitty, you're this and that, you're not enough. It's never you. It is not you. It is them projecting all of their insecurities, all of their issues, everything. They're projecting everything that they feel inside onto you, and it just shows how insecure they are, and just they present a completely different person at the beginning than who they really are. And I think the reason people kind of stay with narcissists so long is because I think that because they show us who they were the first 2 or 3 months, when they start to change after that,
you're confused.
We're confused.
So you're in this state of confusion.
But you're also like, in your head, you're like, I know that this isn't how this person is. I know this person isn't mean. Like, they have to be having a rough this or a rough season or a rough month or that. You try to give them so many excuses. Work isn't going well. This isn't going well. Oh my gosh, this is going on in their life, because you're trying to give them grace because you're confused. You're like, there's no way that this person that I've known for 3 months, not that 3 months is a long time. And that's another thing I'm going to touch on in a minute. But the person that you knew the past 3 months, you're like, okay, how they, that can't be an act. They have to get back to that person. But guys, when I tell you it is an act, they can put on a show. But if you watch closely, there's little signs within those 3 months. But I just think that when you're in the beginning stages of meeting someone,
you don't see it.
But you also like give people a pass because nobody's perfect. Right. And I think that sometimes in a relationships, like, we want to give people passes because we're like 9 times out of 10, you're like, okay, not everybody's perfect. So like, there's going to be things about someone that you don't love. Like, not everyone's perfect. But then at the same time, you have to know when there's like, not everyone's perfect, but also pay attention to the signs. It's okay to pay attention to the sign and be like, don't like that. I'm adding that to the list. I'm gonna add that to the list and see what else you have on your list.
I think they put on such a facade, and you're so sure, like, okay, what did I do to change? What I've seen is, I find that for females or whoever the person is that this is happening to, you start to realize, you start to think, what did I do? What's wrong? What did I change? And so you're making concessions. You're in a very confusing state. So you're giving them this time or this grace because you're like, okay, something has to be going on. But that was never that person. They were never the person they presented to be. They were never, ever.
Narcissists, they read you, they study you. They're not dumb people. Like, they read you, they study you, they learn you like you're a textbook. Like, they read, they study you, and they mirror you. They figure out what you do, what you like, what you don't like. They figure out even down to like activities. They make sure that the dates they plan and the things they plan, they know you're gonna like because they've studied you so much and they've like listened to you. At the beginning, they're also really good at listening. They listen to you and they make sure that everything they do is the date you're gonna like. Like, they're saying things that they know, you know what I mean? Like, they read you and they study your behavior to make sure that you are falling for them.
Yeah, they want to make sure you fall, because when they change, that's what's going to hold you there, is this love for them that they've kind of pulled you into, because it's all a facade, but you think you're falling for this great person. And so that I would say the third sign in, from the love bombing,
the mirroring,
and then the confusion, because you are in this state of confusion. So if you find yourself and you're sitting somewhere and you're like, you're always in a state of confusion, nothing is clear though. You're confused on if you're having a date at night. Everything
is so confused. Like, you don't know if they want you around or they do want you around. Like, everything becomes so confusing. But then they also are so, I don't know if it's reactive, but I feel like they're so defensive and reactive, because they're so confusing. So they leave you in this place of like, okay, I'm just using this as an example. I'm not saying this has happened to me, but I'm just saying, for example, okay, you may be confused on like, are we having a date tonight? Are we not having a date tonight? But then they're the type of person where like, if you ask, you never know what their reaction is going
to
be.
You don't know. Why do you always have to have a date?
Don't know if they're going to get mad at you and be like, why do you always want a date? Why do you always want to go spend money? But then you also don't know if you don't ask, then they'll try to flip it like, why? I didn't hear from you all day. I didn't even know if you want to go on a date with me. They do little things like that. And it's like, okay, you're purposely making it confusing, because you've been with me to know, obviously I want to spend time with you. Obviously I want to go on a date with you tonight, but I'm over here scared to ask because I'm not sure what mood you're in, how you're going to react. If I ask, are you going to get mad and think I'm pressuring you for a date night? If I don't ask, are you going to get mad and be like, oh, well, you must didn't want to see me tonight? And it's just like, it's so annoying and it's so draining. And when you get to that point where you find yourself being confused and drained, that's when you need to step away. Yeah. Like, pay attention to the signs, and they also are very good about breadcrumbing you throughout the relationship.
Oh yeah, they know when you're getting
after the love bombing stage.
They
can be mean and do all that stuff. But like you said, they can read when you're starting to get fed up and when you're done with their BS. And then it's like all of a sudden they start kind of love bombing again. And you're like, they're obsessed with you. You're their favorite person, this and that. So then you're in another state of confusion of like, okay, well, they can be so nice. Like, I know that they actually love me and care about me. Like, are they just having a bad month? Is work just not going well? Like, you start to question yourself, like, did I do something? Like, what could I have done to make him mad? Like, and it's just, they want you confused.
And I also think that another sign that I find is that if you are in the relationship with them, but you're out with other people with them, they're two different people. The person that's at home with you or in the relationship with you is a totally different person that's outside. And most times those friends have no idea who that person is.
Who the person really is.
They look at you and they're like, oh, you got this great boyfriend. Oh, yeah, well, at home he wasn't talking to me. He was totally silent with me. Or he was like all day long he's been mean and devaluing me and angry and hitting the bumping walls. And the silent treatment. We got to talk about how
we'll get to that next.
Because they can't communicate. And they're never going to own their part. But no, they definitely are totally different people with their friend. What I find is that they don't really have their true friends. Their friends don't know them.
I don't even know if their family knows them that well. But their true friends definitely don't know them. Because I have experienced that firsthand where, like, multiple times I've been with this person, like, you know, at home behind closed doors, they act one way with me, but then we get out in public with their friends, and it would literally be one of those moments where I'm looking upside his head like, this is not how you act at all. You've totally put on a different personality, different facade. But it's like they're able to switch it up around people, which is sad, because you should be able to be who you are authentically around everyone. But it's like they have to switch up who they are around people, and I'm like, your friends have no idea how you really act around me. And then you watch them switch up around different friends. They act this way around this group of friends, but then when they go around this group of friends, they act this way. But then when they're with their family, they act this way. And then when they're with me, they act this way. And it's like, okay, you have four different persona. Like, you have four different persona. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't know. But you were going to touch on the silent treatment.
But before I get to that, and having a discussion with them, or if you have a conversation with them, or an argument with them, first of all, they take everything to an argument because they're so defensive and so reactive. Yeah. You can't have a conversation.
You can't say what bothers you at all.
Oh, that bothers you. Oh, wait, what do you mean?
But wait a minute. When they have something that bothers them, we're going to talk about it right then and there, and they want to get it off their chest. But if you bring something to them and you're like, hey, this bothers me, not argumentative, just like, this is something I want us to work on, whatever, all of a sudden you're the problem. It's not them, it's you. You're immature, you're this, you're that. They can point all the fingers at you
They're never going to own their part.
None of it is their fault.
No, yeah, they never own their part. But I do think that because they have, I don't know if they lack communication skills, which I think is part of it. I think they can communicate. I just think they refuse to communicate with the person.
Yeah, because when they're mad about something or have something they want to talk about, they can clearly communicate. Yeah,
right. And so I think, and they find the silent treatment, nothing makes a person feel more irrelevant or hurt or devalued than silent treatment. I think
that's like the worst type of abuse. That's a form of abuse. It's a form of abuse.
Someone is giving you the silent treatment in a relationship, in a home or in a room or in a house or whatever.
Yeah.
Being silent with someone means you don't even care enough.
You don't even want to acknowledge
that
to
acknowledge that they're in the room with you, to acknowledge that they're in a relationship and to care enough that, oh, what they might be feeling. And I think narcissists take that to the extreme. The silent treatment is, to me, is one of the harshest punishments I think it is one of the worst.
All abuse is horrible, yeah, obviously, but I just feel like silent treatment is one of the worst forms of abuse because, like I said, I can speak from this from experience, and it's one of those things where you sit there and you just feel so like you don't feel important, and it hurts because it's like this is someone that you love and you want to talk it out because you want to find a solution, you want to be happy with them again, but it's like you're
fully aware you can't talk it out though once you get to,
because
there's no conversation that can be had where both people are heard, because at that point they're not going to let the conversation is going to keep flipping and it becomes about something totally different than what the argument is about.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, we're never going to get anywhere because you're going to keep flipping the script and not owning stuff and trying to place this blame back on me, whereas I'm not trying to place the blame.
You find yourself wanting to be silent, like when you find yourself, when I'm not wanting to be silent, but because of how they are when you try to talk things out and they give you the silent treatment. And if you are able to talk things out, it really isn't talking things out. It's leading to a whole fight and whatever. You're just not getting anywhere. The cycle continues. Like you find yourself just like not expressing the things that bother you. And with that, I know for me, it got to a point where I just felt like I was just bottling all these things up because it was like there were things that were bothering me that I wasn't able to talk about because I'm like, it's either going to lead to a fight or it's going to lead to silent treatment. And I can't emotionally and mentally take on either one of those right now.
Right.
So I'm just going to be quiet about it and not bring it up. But then you don't realize that you're bottling up these things that are bothering you. And so one day you're either going to explode or you're going to walk away because you're going to be like, I can't. There's so much that we can't even recover from. If we tried to talk it out, it would lead to a fight. It would lead to silent treatment. And it's just horrible because, like I said, being in that position where you're in love with someone and they are giving you the silent treatment, they won't even acknowledge you. They won't even talk to you. They act as if you are non-existent. That hurts so much. That is one of the worst forms of abuse because you just feel so small. It's like you don't even care enough about me to figure out why I'm sad. You don't even care. You know you hurt me. You know I'm crying for a reason. You know that I'm sad for a reason, but you don't care enough about me to try to find a solution.
Yeah, and they're fueled by that, though.
Yeah.
The more that they think that they've hurt you or they've got you in a position where you're vulnerable and you're upset, they're fueled by that. And I've found that they just, it just perpetuates them to do it continuously. They are just, they're fueled by seeing you in that place.
Yeah.
And that's hurtful.
It's so hurtful, but it's like, I don't know. It's like, I swear that like,
I think another term is gaslighting. They like to gaslight.
Oh my gosh. They love to gaslight. It's never them. They are the most, what I can say about narcissists, ooh, they think they are the most perfect people on this earth and it is everyone else. Everyone else is the problem. And so I'm just like, these are just like signs to help you look out for when you're dating a person. Because like I said, before I encountered a specific person that was a narcissist, I didn't even really know what narcissism was. No. It's one of those things where it's people that have dated narcissists or experienced any type of narcissist in their life, not just someone they dated, they know exactly what we're talking about. But I'm sure to people that have never encountered a narcissist, they're going to be like, wait, what? Because it's one of those things where you have to encounter the person to know what a narcissist is.
No, because I even think with you, I was like, you're going through what? What is happening? And so it took a minute for us to be like, oh, wait, is this what narcissism is?
This is, yeah.
Are you experiencing a narcissist at this time? And I remember feeling so bad because for the longest time, I didn't even know how to guide you through it. I was like, okay, I'm not sure. And they become so verbally abusive in a fight that it was like, you have to be prepared to fight verbally back. And if That's not your...
If you're not a confrontational person, it's hard.
If that's not your nature, you're going to lose that battle. Because they are armed and ready and geared with ammunition to fight. Because they can live in that space of fighting and confusion and keeping you... at bay on, and they're so one-sided. That's another thing I'll say. It's very much one-sided. They want a certain way,
but that one-sided,
give that back to you.
And this comes from them being so insecure.
Right.
They're so insecure. So it's like, they're trying to protect themselves at all costs, but they don't ever think that like, you need to be protected too. They're just trying to protect themselves.
Right.
And like I said, I'm speaking from experience because I've been in a relationship with someone that was a narcissist, but again, I don't ever want to speak in. I don't ever want you guys to think that I'm trying to act like I'm Miss Perfect. I am not perfect. I have my issues too. But I'm speaking from a very, like, these are things that I've encountered. And so I'm a little bit knowledgeable on it. But
on anything. Yeah, not an expert. Therapist over
and everyone's
here.
Different. I'm not, not all narcissists are the same. And some narcissists, like, it's one of those things where, like, they can be diagnosed with narcissism. So, like, some people get help and, like, work through it. So I'm not saying all narcissists are the same, or all narcissists are evil and mean and terrible people. That's not what I'm saying. But if you encounter specific narcissists that have not had help and have not been kind of like counseled through what they have going on in their head, then they can treat you very, very bad.
And most of them have experienced some type of trauma. And so I find that, and this is, you can read this anywhere if you pull up narcissists, they usually stop maturing mentally at the age that the trauma
that
happened.
They experience trauma.
And I mean, so,
and if you watch a narcissist's behavior, 9 times out of 10 they act like a little kid. Like, literally, the specific person I was in a relationship, I would watch them when they would have these little like tantrums and stuff, and I'm like, I would like be texting mom, I'm like, I'm so confused what's going on right now. Like, they're acting like a kid. Like,
they're acting like a kid. And they have a way of spinning the truth to kind of fit them. I do remember, but from your experience, that the truth was, it was never quite the truth. It was always kind of a spin to it. And it was like, okay, that's not really what happened. So why are you portraying that?
And the biggest, the thing that would piss me off the most, this isn't like a tip or anything, this is just something I've experienced. What would piss me off the most would be something that we had like talked about previously, but then it gets brought back up weeks or months later. And they all of a sudden would like completely switch around what happened or what we talked about. And I would be so mad because I'd be like, I am not like, I'm not stupid. I know how I remember this conversation or this situation, but it's literally like, it's just you against that person. That there was no one else there to witness the conversation y'all may have had weeks ago or a month ago. So it's like, you're going back and forth battling with this person on who said what, when it's like, I know I'm an honest person. I'm not sitting here trying to lie or gaslight you. I know what was said. So why are you twisting the story or making it seem like something was said differently, or I didn't say this, or you didn't say this, or you said that? And I'm like, it would make me so mad and so frustrated because I'd be like, I was literally there. You and I both know what happened. You were just gaslighting me. You don't want me to remember it correctly, but I remember it correctly. And you know, I remember it correctly because you remember it correctly. Like,
no,
oh my gosh, just... You guys,
and their need for this excessive, they needed this excessive admiration. They have to be the center of attention. They have to be, what is it? Grandiosity. They have to have that. They have to be the biggest personality in the room. And they don't support. Because what I did find is when that person was going through something, you were always supportive. But when you were needed, when it was something big happening in your world or something,
all of a sudden, like,
they would disappear.
If it was a celebratory day for me or anything,
something major
silent
was happening.
Silent. Something good happening for me, something that I'm happy for, proud of, whatever. Silent. Wouldn't even hear from them all day.
I think you were interviewing for an internship at one point in time, and nothing. No, have a good interview. Nothing like that. But always wanted that back.
If I didn't give that back, they would make it very clear. Like, you didn't even call. You didn't even reach out to me. You didn't even see how I like.
They always wanted. They want to be celebrated and loved and put up on a pedestal, but they don't give that back. So they can't reciprocate that in any form or fashion.
Yeah.
It's not about you.
And it's really sad because at the end of the day, I don't think they mean to be and act the way that they do, but I don't think that they...
I think it's a sickness and I think they need help. I think there's therapists. I mean, I do think that it's something that with a therapist that somebody can function through.
Yeah,
but if they don't acknowledge it and you come into it and you are experiencing it, and
but nine times out of ten, they are fully aware. They're fully aware of what they're doing. They're right. fully aware of what they're like suffering with. But it's one of those things that it's like, as mad and angry as that person made me, and still to this day, like, I'm like, don't want anything to do with you. It's still one of those things where I look at them and I'm like, you're really sad and you're pitiful, because I'm like, you just need some help. You just need, like, to talk to a therapist or something, because you're making yourself so miserable. Like, we're talking about them and all that they did to me.
Yeah,
all that they do to the person that they're with or whatever. And, like, in my case, all that he was doing to me to make me feel bad, make me feel sad, made the relationship miserable. But I look at him, I'm like, that's how you function on your everyday life. And my thing, I was with him long enough to know that, like,
you never have.
He wasn't just this way with me. Like, maybe his friends didn't know him that well, but I was with him long enough to know he didn't want to see other people winning either. He like you said, he thrived off being the center of attention. He liked to talk bad about other people, kick other people kind of when they're down. And I'm just like, it's really sad, because I'm like, you are still probably doing all of that. And you just went on to be a narcissist to the next person that gets as close to you as I did. But really, you are the most miserable, because at some point, girlfriends, friends, whatever, we're going to see it and we're going to run. We're going to be like, oh yeah, leave him right where we found him, done. But you are miserable. You are continuously stuck in this cycle, and you're just not going to be happy until you go get some sort of help.
Right. And that's what you find, that tends to be, there's no revenge in that situation.
Yeah.
They're living their own revenge. They're living in their own revenge, and it's a sickness.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And they get in their own way too. Yeah. Like, because at the end of the day, you know what? I'm not going to get into my situation, but because I was like, let me not get into my situation. I'm like, that's over and done with. But they do it to themselves, and they are ultimately the reason that they lose people, girlfriends, friends, boy, like,
if, oh, and you know, they, like, that's a good point. They go for really good people, really mm-hmm. empathetic people. They do the research. They know who they're approaching. They know who they got their eye on. They know you're a good person. They know you're a giving person. They know that you're a loving person. They're looking for a nurturing person.
And the thing is, they'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I can honestly say, like, the way he treated me and stuff was horrible, but I can honestly say there were times in a relation where he could be really humble and be like, you're a really good person, and, like, once you, like, you're going to deal with me long enough and want to leave me. And, like, they could be really honest. And, like, at the beginning when he was like, I'd be looking like, what are you talking about? Why would I just up and leave you? Like, but little old me not knowing, boy, did I leave. But I'm just saying, like, so they are fully aware. They can have those very real moments and be like, if I keep treating you this way, you're going to leave me. Like, you're going to wake up one day and want to leave me. But it's almost like they're foreshadowing what's going to happen, because that is ultimately what ends up happening.
Because I think it's a pattern.
Yeah.
It's happened before. And so, and if you could encounter those people that they've had experiences with, you'd find out that, okay, you lived similarly to, it was a similar situation that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And they just continue to move on, and without help, that they could just continue to repeat that.
Exactly.